from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you feeling today?
Fantastic.
Had one day of getting out and about after your quarantine.
That's right. I was free yesterday. I was free. And you know what I did?
What's that?
Went to the grocery store.
How did that feel? Was that exciting? Was it as exciting as you envisioned?
Are you kidding me? I saw people. I got to see people. They were wearing masks, so I couldn't really see their faces, but I was happy to see them. So, anyways, good morning to you. It's time for a very good show today, so let's get right to it. Ursula's Top 5 News Stories of the Day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
There is more evidence now that getting fully vaccinated is not a guarantee that you won't get COVID. The state now says it has seen at least 217 of these so-called breakthrough cases.
That's up from our initial announcement on March 20th of 102 cases. And we know that vaccine breakthroughs have now occurred in 24 of our 39 counties.
But State Health Secretary Dr. Amer Shah says that's still fewer than 1 in 10,000 vaccinated Washingtonians getting COVID. So he says you should still feel confident about getting a vaccine. And just a reminder that starting today, everyone 16 and over is eligible to get a COVID shot.
Go get your vaccine. Go get your vaccine. Go get your vaccine. This is exciting. It used to be April 15th. It still is tax day. But it's kind of, you know, an extension with everything going on with COVID. But today's Vax Day, right? Like, it's an opportunity for those 16 and over to be able to go get those vaccines. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more and more stories, Ursula, about there being vaccinations. This is why I did not like the pause on the Johnson & Johnson. Yes, I do believe that they should be transparent and tell us all what's going on. But at the same time, don't stop it, because when you stop it, then you have other people that want to stop, and we don't want people stopping from getting their vaccination. So, I mean, I always like to say on the show, Ursula, anytime I can say good news, good news, good news, considering all the stories that we do cover during a week, I'm going to go ahead and say good news here.
Well, there are a couple of things. So the good news is, yes, everyone's eligible now above the age of 16. You talked about the pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But again, that's not necessarily going to make it that much harder. It's already going to be difficult just because of the sheer number. So far, more than 4 million doses have been given out in the state. That's nearly 1 in 4 people being vaccinated. The J&J vaccine represents 6% of the supply in Washington. So they're insisting that that's not going to be the big impact. But there is still so much misinformation, G, about what the vaccine will and will not do. So this, I think, the fact that there are these breakthrough cases, more than 200 of them so far, and 5 involving people who actually died after getting COVID, even after the vaccination, right. It is a reminder that, yes, you're going to have more freedom once you've gotten your shots. But you still have to take reasonable precautions. In other words, yes, you still do need to wear your mask and wash your hands. Here's another thing that people might not realize. When you are vaccinated, you might still be able to spread the virus even if you don't feel sick. So don't assume that you cannot be the carrier of COVID even after you get your shots.
Absolutely. There's still a possibility. Like, the one when, of course, I'm coming out and just getting over COVID, but you know, nobody in my household was positive except for me. Everybody had multiple tests. I even had multiple tests. And so people keep asking me, well, is there a possibility that you had a false positive? Sure, it could be possible. Even though I don't really think that it's possible, I actually think it was the right test, considering the reason why I kept going back over and over and over again to get tested. But the one thing that people have to learn, especially when you get COVID, you start to really dig in to understand, Ursula, is that that is what it's about. Like, even if you get it and whatever it's about you or a possibility of exposure, it is really important to think about others. And that's the problem that I see happening. Like, for an example, Lillian tested negative every single time. She took 4 tests. Tested negative every single time and still never went to work. Why? Because of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because yes, maybe she is negative, But what if the possibility of her saying, okay, I'm negative, I'm going to go to work, but yet she brings COVID possibly to work, even though she tests negative every single time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. And it's still, again, because you look at it, the one concern that I have just as more and more people get vaccinated is this idea that, hey, so I can just go back to completely living just exactly how I did before the pandemic, you know, and by the way, there is a, you know, 99 blah, blah, blah percent recovery rate, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you hear all those things still and see, you know, someone like, gee, is just proving it. Again, you had one shot. You still got COVID. The thing that the vaccine did for you is that it made you be able to survive, not have to go to the hospital, made your symptoms that much worse. But it is not a guarantee, again, that you will not get the virus. When it comes to the highest paid jobs at Amazon, most of the people filling those roles, it turns out, are white men. The company has just released its most detailed look at its workforce demographic, and it confirms what critics have long suspected.
A new workforce study from the company shows there's a lack of Black, Latino, and female employees in the best paid jobs, where they are overrepresented positions that include areas like the warehouse. Amazon says it plans to change the demographic by hiring 30% more women for senior technology roles and adding 30% more Black employees as product managers, engineers, designers, and in other executive roles. Lisa Mateo, CBS News.
As part of this whole effort, employees are also going to be required to take part in inclusion training as well.
You know, Ursula, I had a one take that I was going to talk about with diversity. And as I was getting ready to pop the mic on and get ready to start the show, I was looking outside, you know, your boy be watching the birds. You know what I mean? And so I've really gotten into nature. Now, guys, don't think I'm nuts, but let me just admit something. It is a really awesome thing to get into nature. And I know it's taken, some of you guys have been doing it your whole life, but for me, I just started. And in doing so, I'm going somewhere with this, Ursula, don't worry.
I'm getting a little concerned.
Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But when it comes to nature, nature includes a broad variety of plant and animal life. Right? You have organisms out there that kind of build up the strength and helps others survive. So for an example, when it comes to trees, right? You don't plant all the same trees because if one of the trees gets sick, every last one of the other trees gets sick, right? And so when you come to trees and everything, when you have different trees, there's a great level of survival. Well, I'm just talking about diversity in companies. And how important diversity is and how you can learn off of each other. And I believe that some of the greatest companies that will go forward tomorrow in the future will be those companies that have a great deal of diversity in them because they have a bunch of people that's helping each other learn. I know that I personally learn from not just our doing our show, I learn from the many different conversations that I get to have on a daily basis with our listeners. Mm-hmm. I hope I wrapped that up and came back to you on that. And I'm just trying to give an importance of diversity. That's all.
Well, so now Amazon has the information. So I commend them for taking this deep dive, looking into this. But now that it has the information, what is the company actually going to do? And today, apparently, CEO Jeff Bezos has written his final letter to shareholders, and he came up with this broad vision. He said, you know, he realizes because of the union vote in Alabama, even though the company won that one, he realized that there are challenges within the workforce. There are the, you know, comments about how people are treated horribly at these warehouse facilities. Many of the people who work there are people of color, in particular Black employees. The pay gap between Amazon warehouse workers and employees in its corporate officers, there's a huge difference. Warehouse wages start at $15 an hour, and corporate employees average a base pay of $150,000 an hour. And obviously in the leadership positions where there are essentially very few women and very few people of color, you know, that is an issue. When you want your company to reflect what your basically the population of your workforce is, right? Mm-hmm. And you said, you know, you talked about the importance of having that kind of diversity and how it can be really positive. But this is the complaint. And I looked at the story. I took a look at the story in the Seattle Times, and I went straight to the, because I wanted to see how far down I had to go to see a complaint. And this is, it was not very far. So this is a typical thing that I hear, and I want to talk about this. What a shame for the country that the most important qualifications for a job are now sex and race. No longer is it enough to study, work hard, put forth the effort to succeed in your chosen endeavor. Careers, businesses, and corporations succeeded by hiring the brightest and the most competent. Any sex or race could apply, no restrictions, just qualifications. Now qualifications are not required. Just apply and check the appropriate two boxes on the application, and a high-paying job is yours.
I just want to ask,
if this were the truth, why is it that Amazon's own look at its workforce shows nothing that would confirm anything that was said there?
Wait a minute. Whoever wrote that, I need to talk to you, because let me call my family back home and tell them, hey, all you have to do is show up, be black, and they're hiring you on the spot. Right? Is that where we at today? You don't need any qualifications.
Either if you're a woman, if you're going to check the two appropriate boxes, apparently that high-paying job is yours.
Hey, text in right now, 98973. If this is your company and you're hiring people right on the spot just for being a woman or a person of color, would you please text in and let us know so we can show up and get us a job right now? Where are you?
But I think that's the automatic, cheap, lazy response.
In the envelope?
Yes, it's like pulling out that envelope. Oh, look, no longer. You just, you know, it's not enough just to study and work hard. Are you trying to say that every woman and every person of color is not studying or working hard or not worthy of putting in a position of leadership? And by the way, this goes for any company. If you say that you value diversity and you do all the training, and yet we are going to look at the leadership positions, or we are going to look at what it is you do on a daily basis, and that does not reflect anything that you say you believe in.
Come on.
It's even worse.
Come on now.
Okay, that is even more harmful. So if you're going to do the diversity training, inclusion training, you better be able to follow up and say, this is where we've gone with it. Right? But, and you're going to also have to know that there are always going to be people who say, ah, that's just a minority hire. That's just a, you know, whatever. And you're just going to have to commit to it, basically, and ignore that noise.
Do you think that there are companies out there that talk the talk but don't walk the walk when it comes to diversity? Do you think that there are companies out there that put on the T-shirts or put on their company and talk about the importance of equity and all this kind of stuff, and then at the end of the day, they don't walk the walk, Ursula?
Yes, and you know what happens? Huh. That's even more demoralizing. So this effort to try to do the right thing and say that it's important to you, if it is not felt, that's even worse for office morale. Just word of warning. A homeless encampment outside Meany Middle School on Seattle's Capitol Hill will finally be cleared this week before students return for in-person learning. The city has now posted a notice saying that crews are going to start clearing the site tomorrow. One parent told KTTH's Jason Rance his kids didn't want to return to school if the camp was still there.
They feel their safety for them is paramount, and they just don't want to do it.
Students are set to return to the school on Monday. The city says it does have shelter and wraparound services for every person living at that camp.
Shocker. You mean, Ursula, somebody made a decision and said that it's not a good idea to have a homeless camp near or on a school ground?
Yeah, that whole idea, that whole thing with the school board president, it's like, yeah, maybe your heart is in the right place, but you cannot let it get in the way of logic. it doesn't make sense to now say that you cannot clear a homeless camp from a school because it is not humane for the homeless campers. This is the humane. What happened now? What's happening now? Yes, that needs to happen with every school. So I'm glad they finally came to their senses. Well, it turns out Bellevue does have homeless people as well, but you're not going to find those tents in public parks, ball fields, or on sidewalks, at least not for very long. And that is because Bellevue police work closely with non-governmental agencies to find other places to house the homeless.
We make sure that we work with our partners, if there's a bed available, making sure that they have a place to go that is an alternate location before we do any sort of action that would then remove that person from the public property.
Major Andrew Papachuk emphasizes this is a compassionate approach, but if the campers refuse to leave...
We work our way through the process. We do the educational side first, offer the resources, but at the end, in many cases, it would come to something where we would then take enforcement action.
There's not a lot of people that live in Bellevue all of a sudden just all go homeless right away. What do you think, Ursula? You know what I mean? Like, if you live in Bellevue and you have a home or a house in Bellevue, if you become homeless or you lose your home... I would say that there is less that happens in Bellevue than it does in other areas here in the Pacific Northwest. Now, I will say and commend, like, good for them for continuing to make sure that if there is someone out there, they want to make sure that that person is able to receive services. I'm sure that happens here in Seattle, it happens all over, but I'm quite sure in Bellevue, they're making sure that continues.
Wait. You think it? See, I don't think it's happening enough in Seattle. I really don't.
No, hold on. Going back to the point. It needs to happen more. But there's what I'm saying is in Seattle there's so many, right? There's so many people that are homeless as opposed to in Bellevue. I would assume that there's a smaller population of those needing services in and around Bellevue than there are here in Seattle.
Well, absolutely. So you're talking about the richer demographic that lives on the east side. I mean, essentially, sure. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, but not everyone who is homeless in Seattle is from Seattle. I mean, we know that to be a fact. And I think that we know that because... there is this basic idea that you can camp anywhere and nothing is going to happen to you. That's exactly what they're doing. Look how long it took to get a homeless camp moved from a school. And we're talking about one. There's many schools to have to address. So I'm pointing out Bellevue because, yes, they have a smaller problem, but I think their approach is the right approach.
Yes, yes, for sure. Still ahead, Nicole Jennings. She's going to come in and join us to share an interview that she had with Washington State Auditor on the ESD fraud. I cannot wait to hear this. You guys are listening to the Gene Ursula Show.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. It is another beautiful morning in the Pacific Northwest. So you just heard it in Heather's newscast. The figure is now more than $1 billion. That whopping amount is what the state auditor says may have gone into the hands of scammers instead of people who are without jobs. The Employment Security Department insists that the amount is grossly exaggerated, but Auditor Pat McCarthy says she's just going with the data that has been collected.
What we can report on are the facts that we've been able to verify. We allow entities to give their own point of view, and sometimes they disagree with what we put in our audits.
Kyra Radio's Nicole Jennings talked with the state auditor, and Nicole joins us now on the show. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, Ursula.
So explain how ESD thinks this is grossly exaggerated and how Pat McCarthy believes that this amount really is what may have gone into the wrong hands.
ESD is claiming that this figure includes claims that were determined to actually be legitimate. They said tens of thousands of claims totaling, they told me, $200 million were found to actually be legitimate, not people trying to scam the system at all. They said that claim also included other claims that they had pulled as potentially fraudulent and were investigating and had stopped paying out, and other claims that had gone through the appeal process, and essentially other claims that had been flagged as potentially suspicious. So they were already on it, they say, and they know what they're doing and that the auditor's office doesn't know the numbers. That's what ESD is claiming. They did decline an interview when I asked them for a rebuttal to the auditor's comments, but they did give me those latest figures. Now, the auditor says she's just going by the data that ESD provided her. And they were going over this for 6 months at least. I remember the first time reporting on these audits, I think, was last summer. So this was a long time that they were poring over all of these documents and all of this information. And she says, look, this is what we did with the information that we could verify. And that's what they had in front of them at the time was $460 million worth, potentially, possibly not that much, but potentially in fraudulent claims.
In addition to what had been found initially, the 600.
Yes, the 600, almost 650 million in that initial attack, which went to the Nigerian scam ring, as well as other people locally as well.
So going forward, Nicole, what are some steps, or what are some things that are being done? I don't know if you know this, to help ease the public's trust when it comes to ESD going forward. How do we know, Nicole, that this won't happen again?
Well, the state auditor's office listed in their report that I think we could have all guessed this, that there were a lot of security protocols at ESD that weren't strong enough, that made them vulnerable to this type of fraud. And I should say there are kind of two things going on here. There's the large scale scam ring like the Nigerian one last spring that attacked. But then there's also the little Joe Schmo Washingtonian who is who he says he is. He didn't steal anyone's identity, but he doesn't qualify for benefits, yet he's still trying to scam the system and get benefits even when he has a job or it isn't qualified in some way. So there's these kind of two types of fraud going on. Both are equally important to guard against. And what the state auditor's office is contending is that ESD was spending more time on these kind of local individual cases of people trying to scam the system and did not have a robust enough anti-fraud unit to protect against that big, large-scale crime ring type fraud. And to ESD's credit, they have done a lot in the months since that happened. They established a big anti-fraud office. They've hired new people. They have a fraud officer there. So they're certainly taking the auditor's office's recommendations very seriously. And they're putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak. And I will note that in the performance audit, which was one of the three audits that we're talking about here, the auditor's office did say that ESD had taken all of their different recommendations, and their only recommendation in that audit was keep doing the status quo, keep doing what you're doing. One of the other audits, the fraud report, did have another list of additional recommendations for ESD to implement, and hopefully they'll be doing those things in the coming months.
Just going back to the raw number, if we're looking at more than $1 billion, how did it go for so long and with that amount of money before someone noticed, A? And B, is there any thought that there could be some kind of inside job?
Well, I think both of those things possibly. One of the things is just that they were so overwhelmed by Great Depression level numbers of people applying for unemployment benefits last year. I mean, no one could have seen this coming, and the system was not prepared to handle it. And hopefully the system is making changes now that they will be prepared if, God forbid, there's another crisis like this in the future. So, yes, they were overwhelmed. They did not have the staff or the tools or the powers, the governmental powers, to be able to make the changes they needed to make to deal with all of this. So I think we know that a lot of security measures, different things were turned off. They found in the previous report in December, an internal system that would have flagged suspicious claims was turned off until May last year. So I think in the effort to get people their benefits very quickly, which is admirable, I think maybe some very prominent security measures were bypassed. And there was actually a federal with the CARES Act, a federal statement that they didn't need to go through a certain waiting period to verify people's identities. They could just get the benefits out much faster, according to this change in federal law. So that was one of the examples of things where maybe some people slipped through who shouldn't have. So that was one thing. Now, as far as if there's the possibility of internal fraud, I've been hearing that theory for months. At first, I thought, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. I don't know, though. The more I hear about this, and now knowing that the auditor is looking into potential misappropriation of funds by ESD employees, now I'm wondering, is there something there if the auditor's looking into it? The auditor wouldn't give me any details about that because that's an ongoing investigation. Sure. So I don't know if this is something, this is just one employee that they're looking into, if it's multiple employees. I don't know. And we will find that out when that report comes out at a later date. But she did say that internal fraud is something that happens at all levels of government. And this is something they've found essentially, you know, every year that she's been working there. So Nicole, not at ESD necessarily, but at other government agencies. And so I naively was shocked by that.
Nicole, did you get the sense, though, because we also heard that ESD was not being very transparent and was, in fact, kind of making it hard for the auditors to do their job, at least initially. Has that changed at all? Does Auditor McCarthy feel like ESD is actually cooperating fully?
Yeah, I did ask her about that. And because, as we know, last fall, she did make that statement about ESD not getting them documents in a timely manner and not cooperating. And she says they have a working relationship now. I got the sense that things have improved. And there is a new department head at ESD and the new interim commissioner, Cammie Feek. And so perhaps with the change in leadership, they've seen some improvement. I'm not sure if that was a factor, but certainly I got the impression that the relationship is better now. I didn't necessarily get the impression that they're great friends, but a working relationship, they're able to get the information that they need and do their work together, exchange that information back and forth. So I think going forward, it should be better than it was last fall.
Well, this new woman certainly inherited a mess, and it's still just infuriating that no one was held accountable for this mind-boggling amount of fraud that occurred at ESD. We thank you, Nicole, for your reporting and for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nicole. Appreciate that. We need to talk coming up next. The world is moving so much with new technology, making everything accessible and easier. The question is, do you like it? We discuss that next. Gene Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday, you guys. Coming up at 10:06, Chris Sullivan will join us in that segment to tell us why, for the next 16 weekends, as you drive on I-5, you might notice a little congestion. So we got to find out about that. But Ursula, we need to talk. How far is too far? How far is too far? Now, check it out. The world right now is moving. It's moving. The new technology making everything accessible and easier. Here's an example. Domino's Pizza down there in Houston, Texas, they're offering delivery without humans. That's right. Autonomous cars delivering pizzas. In San Francisco area, robots roam the streets delivering packages to homes and offices. Uber is going to be planning to start delivering cannabis at some point. So here's my question. 98973, love for you guys to weigh in on the State Roofing text line. Ursula, are you loving this or are you hating this?
I'm not loving this. I don't want to say hate because there are areas where I think technology is great and I don't shun the idea of technology improving our lives. I think in many ways it has. But I hate the idea that people are going to be replaced with robots and everything's going to be automated. And already I think that we have lost so much in society. We are losing the ability to interact with each other in appropriate ways. So much is quick. So much is lost because it's all done. I mean, conversations on phones anymore are very difficult. People just want to text. It's like you lose the art of being with people and socializing. And I think this is just going to exacerbate that even more. And I always say, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can buy that thing at your house that has 18 different ways to turn on your TV doesn't mean you should, because you're probably only going to use one or two. And what's likely going to happen is you're just going to invite people over to show your cool gadget, but it really isn't improving your life.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I feel attacked. See, Ursula, every now and then on the G and Ursula show, I feel a little slight, a bit of attack. Wait, are you? What did you? What do you mean by what you just said?
I haven't been to your house yet, so I don't know. But I know that there are people who buy these things or get these things in their lives just because they want to have the very latest in technology. But when it comes down to it, unless you have, you know, a really good manual to just to tell you step by step what you need to do, you're not going to use it.
Yo, I do. I had in my living room. I had this really cool, nice, where all of my cable box, it holds on, it has some decorations on it, and it's right up under my TV and everything. And the only time that I turn it on where it lights up and it's kind of cool and fancy is when people come over.
Otherwise, you're just using the good old remote.
Yeah. Oh, you know, people come on. Excuse me for a second. I got to turn this on.
Boom.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, when I turn it on, I don't turn it on before you get there. I make sure you see me turn it on. So that's why I felt attacked. Okay, let's go back to the technology. I kind of like it because I like technology and I want things to go fast. And then I also kind of like the technology part of it because now I can really give a message to my kids, right? Like, hey, it is really, really important that you continue to keep your social skills, because at some point in the future, those social skills, the way you're able to interact with others, will be worth money.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
true.
I like it a little bit.
Well, and I think that is actually a great point, G, where you should understand how it is, whether it's coding, whether it's, you know, whatever. You should understand the technology and you should understand how it works, but you cannot get to the point where you cannot speak anymore in a way that people will understand. You know, it's one of those, if you still have the EQ, that whole emotional quotient where you can read people's body language, you can communicate effectively, you can get people to buy in, that is still so important. But I think you lose so much of that because we have just relied on technology, and anymore all our interactions are, you know, through technology, on social media. And the way you talk on social media, let's face it, is no way that you would talk in real life. And I just look at it as just a continued, yeah. We can't, before you move to that, you know, I don't even like self-checkout yet.
Jeez,
I might
Ursula.
Be on the other end. Even my husband's ahead of me on self-checkout.
I
love
agree.
The interaction.
I'll agree. I this is gonna really sad. I mean, I love technology, but I can't stand self-checkout. And here's why. Number one, I want to talk to somebody. Number two, that's a job for somebody else. I don't want to go shop for the groceries. Ding, bing, beep, beep, put my groceries in the bag. I don't want to do that. I just spent a long time trying to find a grocery. Do you know how hard it is for me to find groceries in the store? I don't know where things are. It's the G and Ursula Show.